Forestry Resources. So, if it's okay with you, Mike, Amy's going to present the chapter, and then if you have anything that you could, any additional information that you could provide, any, I guess, gaps, concerns, overlaps.
Ask me questions.
Yeah, we could ask you questions. But, I mean, so when she presents it, what we've been finding really useful when we present our chapters is we present it with the information that we've come up with, and then other people at the table might have more experience with it, and so they'll come in and say, well, did you talk to this person, or have you thought about this, or just give it a different angle. And so where you have experience with forestry, and I think Amy reached out to Joe Steinberger, and he wasn't very helpful, or he didn't have
he don't want to get involved in stuff.
Could you do me a favor, Amy? Could you speak a little slower?
Okay.
Not that slow.
No, you don't need about the mic.
Yeah, because I can't quite keep up with you.
Okay. So,
are you not recording?
I'm recording, but I'm trying to
still. Write down.
I don't trying not to listen to the entire 2 hours all over again.
Okay.
So, for the most part, and Mike, what we do is review what's there. And kind of, but give a shortened view so people don't have to read through the whole chapter themselves. So agriculture and forestry, I had kind of touched upon this before, particularly for agriculture, because we don't have a lot of active agriculture, especially traditional agriculture. The chapter's pretty light. I felt it lacks a little bit of vision. It starts with a kind of negative statement, just saying Rockland has limited agriculture base, and that's the first sentence it starts out with. And then it's kind of introductory paragraph is, most farms have returned to forests, fallow fields, or have been developed over the years. However, several small farms are active, currently growing vegetables, raising poultry. And this is from the draft that Eric worked on, so there's some and blank, like fill in the blanks. There are not actually several small farms in Rockland that I know of. There are not in Rockland, the city of Rockland. There is, well, I'll go into that when I get to the kind of inventory. And then the paragraph continues, the higher value of organic heirloom and similar niche farming could increase future agricultural activities in the city. Many of the rural areas of Rockland west of Old County Road are forested or wetlands. Limited timber harvesting occurs on a regular basis and is likely to continue. This chapter outlines existing resources and offers strategies. So that is an updated version that Eric has provided. So he kind of, that information about higher value of organic heirloom is new. So the goal of this chapter, as written by the state, is to safeguard the state's agricultural and forest resources from development, which threatens those resources. My thought is that we could rewrite this so it's a little bit more specific and relevant feeling to Rockland, whether we're talking about preservation of forest, not just for, I think in the state's mind, when they talk about agriculture and forestry, they're really just kind of thinking of forestry as harvesting. And I think this is where we might cross-reference over to the recreational chapter. And maybe, like, how can you reinvigorate agriculture and redefine it a bit to kind of make it relevant for a more urban, dense city. So, and then the next part is analysis. So it asks, how important are those two things to the city? The current draft doesn't really answer that question very clearly, except maybe suggesting that they aren't important. And then it references the land cover map, and it says there's about 4,300 acres of forest, 853 of wetland forest, and
in Rockland?
That's what it says.
How many acres of forest in Rockland?
4,300.
I don't think that's right.
And maybe it's Knox then, because I don't, yeah, it doesn't make sense. This part where it talks about how important is it, I kind of, as I was reading through this chapter and thinking about the whole comprehensive planning commission or plan and kind of vision for, you know, what do we want to think about over the next 5 or 10 years, I realized that there's not really a clear place to talk about food and local food, and that is something that's kind of developed as really important to the restaurants here, to, I think, as a value. A lot of people live here. And so I wonder if this chapter could be kind of I don't know, maybe if it could be included here mm-hmm. in agriculture, or if we need it to be somewhere else somehow. But
well, that's basically what agriculture is about, right?
Yeah, so redefining it a bit to make that clear and relevant.
Mm-hmm. Agriculture defined as growing of any crops in being gardens. I don't know if I'd call marijuana an agriculture product, because that's not a crop.
Huh? It will be.
Well, I don't know if it will be or not. No idea. So it hasn't been voted on yet. So.
I haven't decided.
Actually, it went to court. York tried to classify it as agriculture, and it got slammed down by the courts as being agriculture, and it's been defined as manufacturing.
Interesting. And then also this would be where we would
come up with this stuff.
I go to training.
No, I mean the people who make these decisions.
Growing
a plant is manufacturing.
Right. No. Well, so the folks who were against the bill, there are a lot of people who are against the vote for this who were pro-marijuana, but they didn't like that it was going to be, they thought, geared towards larger scale corporations and that part of this.
That makes sense.
Wanted to see it be a farmer agriculture.
Right.
But then when you do that, you kind of run into this issue of how is it regulated by Food and Drug Administration.
The state's definition of a farm is that it has to produce at least $2,000 of produce per year. That's their definition. So if you don't meet that, in their eyes, you're not a farm.
But what about like an herbal farm?
If you don't sell $2,000 worth of produce, you're not a farm.
It must be a rather part two.
I think it's probably also partly for tax purposes.
Could be, yeah. Could be right.
Well, the other thing is the coastal program did a lot of these scenic, also thinking about forests in terms of forest cover, it made scenic inventories. They've done one for Rockland and for our views elsewhere of Rockland, that is from the islands.
Who did that?
The coastal program. And they did it back when there was a state planning office, but the coastal program was able to skip happily in the conservation folks there. But anyway, they've even projected what our bay looks like as the years go by. Basically, they're just seeing an immense amount of suburbanization from the cities, major cities and towns. That's what they worry about up to like 2040 or 2060. And so that's sort of your challenge is how much forest cover can you keep? Or let's just say biological cover versus the impervious surface is really what they were measuring it against. So they took that data that you were talking about and just moved it through years, because one challenge was that the most recent data was like, was it 2009 or something? The forest data.
I don't know what the dates are, because there's a handful of different maps mm-hmm. That are included here. The next part asks, those are these questions and analysis. Has the city taken any regulatory steps to preserve or promote either of these? And right now, the current draft doesn't really have much except for just talking about zoning and where each are allowed, and then it mentions allowance of chickens. And then the next question asks if owners are taking advantage of tax law. There's you can get tax relief for having that forest certain amount of tree growth on your property, as well as agriculture. And then the next question asks, has the proximity of new homes or other incompatible uses affected normal operation of farms or woodlot owners? And again, the current draft just says that's limited because we don't have much of either.
Amy, do we have any farms?
I'll get to that when I get to it. But no, we really don't. Technically, we have one right now.
Okay.
That I know. There might be something I don't know about. So the next question is, are there large tracts of industrial forest land that have been or may be sold for development in the foreseeable future? Again, these are state questions, so they are kind of really gear a lot of the questions towards larger rural areas. And the current draft answer is Rockland does not have large tracts of industrial forest land, but large-scale development inland that would have an impact on forest land and wildlife habitat. Although regulated by land use ordinances, it might also have an impact on groundwater. And then there's a draft paragraph that said, and this is, again, I think written by Eric, care should be taken in any application for a subdivision to maintain as much forest land as possible for both groundwater recharge and for the preservation of habitat. Proper forest management should be encouraged. Loss of forest land can be attributed to development and to irresponsible harvesting techniques. And when forest land is fragmented, both public and wildlife access become more restricted. Fragmentation occurs with the construction of new roadways and development in areas with large blocks of forests. Accordingly, these areas of road construction development proposals should be reviewed very carefully and, where appropriate, redirected to areas better suited for such development. And the city should take special care in forested areas, especially west of Old County Road. So that paragraph actually I think was pretty good for an update, but they could have some more details there. We don't have, it doesn't seem like we have any current maps that really show clearly what we have in regards to forest area, and especially for private properties. We have a lot of information about the city owned. But, and then the next question, does the community support community forestry or agriculture, small woodlots, community forests, tree farms, community gardens, farmer markets, or community supported agriculture, and if so, how? Currently, the draft only mentions the farmer's market. So I think this could be expanded a bit because we could talk about the Rockland Forest. There is a farm CSA that's delivered here, at least. It's not a Rockland CSA, but it is delivered and people purchase it here. The new volunteer gardeners might somehow be connected, although it's not really a forest. And maybe like proposals for McDougall. The next question is, does the community have city or public woodlands under management that would benefit from forest management? And this one is where it was left, like, with the fill in the blanks. The community has blank municipal or public woodlands under management. At present, blank of the city-owned blank parcels totaling blank acres. So this is something that we could fill in a bit. We do have a Rockland Forest, so that could be filled in. And as far as I know, there's no current plan for forest management.
But we're working on it.
Yeah, there's no current one, though. So we can talk
about...
Isn't
the bog considered conservation area?
Yeah, so there's an actual forest management plan would be kind of like a, you know, next 5-10 years.
Right.
Are we going to remove any wood, and not just for harvesting, but, you know, to make sure that the forest doesn't burn down?
We don't have that in the bog?
I have not found any.
Everything in the rock and bars on the conservation easement. You're not going to change that anyway.
But the conservation easement is from 1997. And
it's still good to have the Rock and Bog Association has a conservation easement on that.
But that's not the same thing as a forest management.
Let's go back to the forest then, really, because like you said, that doesn't matter in this. And, is there some sort of dimension? Can you, in aggregate, what the Rockland Forest is?
We can fill in those numbers. I haven't done it yet.
That's, you know, the funny thing is how much forest tends to grow also where the abandoned farms.
I'll tell you just a minute. She has
done. Oh, yeah. So the next section is conditions and trends. So it covers, you know, is there any forest management? It has the not Rockland farm stats, because there's not really, again, the number of farms, but has the Knox County farm stats from 1997 to 2012. It increased from 275 to 314. I think that's about 15% increase.
Is that farm?
Yep. The acreage was up. Average size of farms went down, but the acreage and value went up. The total cropland went down, and the amount produced of both forage, which is like hay and grass, and veggies is down. And then the next section is maps. So right now we could use a map that shows what, if any, I think agriculture property we have or potential for it. The only one that I know of that is current is new, and it's a flower farm over on West Meadow Farm. And then, when I contacted John Root, he sent me a permit that Ararat Farms in Lincolnville had pulled for West Meadow Farms. So I don't know if they're growing or selling there, but they haven't attacked me yet. And
Ararat,
yeah. And then the 11 acres on Lime Rock that Ari Hecht bought, supposedly he wants to farm on, but there's no plans. And then I swear I saw it for sale again. Have you heard that?
I don't think so, not yet.
It's 11 acres on Lime Rock for sale.
Yeah, and then there's another one on Talbot.
I thought I saw it in the main listings.
One of the old barns there, too, I'll bet you.
The sign's up. Yeah,
this place I'm thinking of.
My house is right on the corner.
So I wonder if he's just turning that property over now. He just decided he's not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But so we could recruit some farmers for that. That's a big spot.
He's got too many irons in the fire.
Yeah.
That's an important land use change in the city, you know, if things happen there. Okay.
So we could identify in a map kind of potential farming, because there is still, from, and this is anecdotal that I've heard, a good amount of land that could be farmed, but it's owned by like large plots by private owners. But what a lot of younger farmers are doing are leasing land, so there's potential there. And the next section goes into tax info. So there's the farmland program, which people can benefit from, and we do not have any parcels in Rockland that are currently enrolled in that. Well, actually, maybe now that new person is, but as of the update, there wasn't. 19 parcels are in the tree growth program, and 5 parcels are in the open space program, and I do not know what the open space program means. Then there's a description of what is going on as far as community farming or forestry, and again, the draft lists the farmer's market, and that's about it. But we could list potentially volunteer gardeners. There's that Children's Museum garden, which I think has gone through a year of not being used, but they were working with the co-op and doing a little pizza garden with the kids. South School, I've heard, has a garden. Youth Links definitely has some growing. And these are all small, obviously, kind of community growing. And then we should definitely list the Rockland Forest and touch upon the Georges Riverland and the Bog
Where
Trail.
Where is the Rockland Forest?
The Rockland Forest, do you want to...
Yeah, I'll tell it when you get done talking. I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
We'll save that. Yeah.
But it's basically, it's kind of connects to the fog. So, and then it goes into potential policies. So the policies, again, kind of, which are listed by the state, are to safeguard lands identified as prime farmland or capable of supporting commercial forestry. We're not going to have a lot of prime farmland or commercial forestry in Rockland, so we might want to rethink what that might mean for us if we want to create policies to preserve or promote either of those. The second one is to support farming and forestry and encourage their economic viability. Again, I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of economic viability from forestry, but there could be some, but not very much. And 3, to promote the use of best management practices for timber harvesting and agricultural production. So then it goes into, so this is the information that I've collected now. For agricultural data and resources, John provided us with an updated soil map, a land cover map, soil groupings, and a developable land map. He also sent me a landslides hazard map, which do you have that? Are you doing the hazard mitigation?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's in that folder, I can send it to you.
And it's in the agriculture folder?
Yeah. Okay. And collected, so there's this huge wealth of information on the Maine Farmland Trust site that has a lot of planning kind of suggestions for comps and towns. And there's just a huge amount of sample ordinances from other towns and what they've done to encourage agriculture. So, and I haven't gone through them and really tried to kind of pull out what might be relevant for us and, you know, what have other kind of more urban municipalities done. Grossbart, Maine provided a document called Planning for Agriculture Farming Friendly Communities. I have not read through that yet. And they have a table, which is really helpful, and it kind of does what I hopefully does my homework for me, and it pulls out all these like little statements from ordinances that other towns have put into place that would be helpful. I spoke with Samantha Howard. She works at the state of Maine. She's the agricultural promotions coordinator, and she recommended looking at the Beginning Farmer Resource Network. And then I left a message for Chris Lord. He's the person who started the Flower Farmer and Ararat Farms, but they have not gotten back to me yet. For forestry, so I think this chapter should cross over with hazards a bit because the one big thing to kind of keep in mind is there was a big forest fire. Do you know what year that was, Mike?
Excuse me?
When the big forest
fire. It was about 1948. It ran about 2 weeks up there.
Yeah. And they had a hard time putting it out.
They did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So something, I mean, it's always a risk, and especially with the climate and getting, summer's getting drier. So something to think about. When I asked John Root who might other stakeholders be that I should reach out to who would have some insight, he recommended getting in touch with John Lennon-Siller. He owns property that's on the bog, in the bog area. It's been in his family for like over 45 years. And he provides a right-of-way so that people can access the bog. And he said that before he did that, he used to be a mess and he thought there was a lot of trash, but since he's allowed people to use it, he feels that they've become kind of stewards of his property a bit and clean it up. There's snowmobilers, there's ATV, and then there's people hunting and hiking.
That's an issue I'm going to talk about too.
So, and he's actually trying to sell it. He's another parcel. He's trying to sell his 45 acres to the city at the tax value, and that 45 acres has a right-of-way to this portion of the bog that I guess that's the only way to get in there from that side of the city. And so in his mind, he felt that there are some woodland areas that have good soil for foresting. A lot of the areas, the soil's too thin. He mentions the bog fire. And in relation to that, he thought that if we were going to make some kind of recommendation, it might be that Rockland develop a forest management plan to, you know, basically actively manage. So what you do is you go in and you take out the wood that is salvageable, and then you also, you have someone mark what trees to save for long-term growth. He says that, so I've heard this before, and I actually finally spoke with one of the people who, there's this mountain biking group that goes, and they park, he cleared out a space so they could park there. He has a little parking lot, and they do a lot, there's this whole trail system back there, I guess, that is kind of, no one really knows about it, except, yeah, no one really knows about it, except the people who do it. Mm-hmm. He says four or five people hike there every day, and he considers himself a junior forester. And he hired a forester, and I think in the last year or so, cleared about 35,000 field logs.
Wait, is this the same person?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, basically said that, you know, some areas need to be could be used for productive forestry, while other areas which have vernal pools should be left alone. Then I spoke with Nate Beal on his recommendation, John's recommendation. He's a land surveyor. And he didn't have a huge amount of information to offer, but he said that another person he can get in touch with would be the town manager of Union, who owns a big lot and does cutting on his lot. And that there's so much mobiles and hunting, and he felt that, the forest management wasn't as maybe important as, thought. What was most imperative is having a strategy and goal to maintain public access, because in his mind, the only access to that one kind of section is through John's property, and that if that
that's
doesn't...
That's not right.
Yeah. Well, in his mind, that was
important. You have Malcolm Bonsall's property, the city's just purchasing that's in Rockland.
But that's on the other side of it.
Yeah, it's on Route 90, but that's successful in that end, too, and that's in Rockland.
Yeah, so I think in his mind, I think it's because this is an area that they enter this trail system in that direction, and that on that side, that's the only public access. And he recommended contacting, so I have kind of been in touch with, the Georges River Trust, but not recently specifically about this chapter, and I need to get back in touch. Who's doing recreation? Do you know off the top of your head? I didn't look. Oh, okay. So John Anders works at the Georges River Trust now, and he's
He does. We're working with him on that.
Yeah, and he's a big mountain biker, so he would have information about recreation in that area of the city.
What about the Rockland Owlshead border? It seems that if you go inland there, there's a large forest parcel there.
I do not know anything.
It's on the Inderham Hill.
This is just one long
side, kind of behind Pima's Restaurant, in that whole area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice big chunk of woods that spans the two towns, really.
I haven't been in touch with the Oyster Association yet, which, do you think that's worth getting in touch with, Nick?
We're working with them anyway. John will come in the next meeting.
Okay. So, and then I did get in touch with Morton Mosswild.
Did you talk to him, though?
Yes.
And he's a district forest ranger of this area, right?
So on the state site, he's called a district forester. I know you said that he's not a forester, but that's what it's listed online.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So he offered that if we're interested, he could come to a meeting.
Yeah.
He also said, and if we want to go walk some of the property, he'd come take us out. And he said that he could pull together any history that there might be, because he wasn't sure off the top of his head, of harvesting and timber management activity.
Honestly, I think it's more beneficial for us to go out and see these things as opposed to people coming and talking to us.
He said there's a natural areas program from the state of Maine that for a town owned or community forest, there's a program we can apply for federal funds to pay for the cost of hiring a forester for educational signage or to put together a management plan. And there's also a community forester coordinator or something.